It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
How you like them apples? Shout out to all my overnight dancers, all my cops, all my highway patrol officers, all my janitors, truck drivers. Yesterday's Thursday night. I think business is booming. People made a lot of money last night. A lot of money. Bartenders. We never shout out the bartenders. We need to shout them out. The waitresses, waiters, saw that. Shout out to the people on hold. We'll get to y'all. Shout out to Greg Bernard, who's going to join us in moments on the River Island's Guest Line as we go behind enemy lines with Greg Bernard on the River Island's Guest Line, founder of the Boston Sports Journal, covers all things Boston sports. And love it. You look at that because we must have him on the line. Wow, we got the River Islands read in too. Isn't it time for you to visit? This is to discover the island. Excuse me. Let me fix that. River Islands in Lathrop. Greg, good morning, man. What's happening?
Good morning. How we doing, fellas?
Oh, man, we're doing good, man. We need a win out here. Niner fans are down. It's doom and gloom. Defensive line is just decimated. Corners getting cooked up. We don't know who's going to play, who's not going to play, but we know they're playing the Patriots. So shed some light on them. Obviously, New England is rebuilding this season. Very competitive first two games. They split that. Not so competitive against the New York Jets. Where are they at right now? Let's just start with the offensive side of football. Obviously, Jacoby Brissett has held off Drake May as of now. How long do you think that leash is for Jacoby Brissett when it comes to the Patriots this season?
I would say it's relatively long. I mean, I think ideally, I think the Patriots would like to sit Drake May and develop him until maybe they're officially out of it. Or at least it's not looking great, and or at least. You know, maybe they give more of a thought to going to Drake May if Jacoby Brissett is the reason they're losing games, and that's just not the case right now. I think in a lot of ways, Jacoby has played well. That's tough to say when you're averaging 102 passing yards a game, but that really has, I mean, it has a little to do with him. I would say a lot of it has to do with their struggles on the offensive line, which have just been brutal. I mean, he has been under pressure more than any quarterback in the league. They can't really block. They have issues there as far as pass blocking, a little bit better, you know, with the run. But it's going to be on Alex Van Pelt, the first year offensive coordinator, to really figure things out, you know, get the quarterback a little bit more protected so they can make some plays down the field. They just haven't been able to do that. So it's really their formula to winning is just don't turn the ball over. Play really good defense and keep it close and see what happens in the fourth quarter.
Wow. I mean, that seems like the bar has gone way down since the old yeah. Brady Belichick days. So let's get into that, because Bonte and I would talk about it. Like, the guy who takes over at quarterback, they're always in Ninerville, is always compared to Joe Montana. The head coach is always compared to Bill Walsh, fair or not. And these are just huge, huge holes to fill. And, you know, it's like being the shortstop of the Yankees. Being the head coach of the Patriots, how big of a shadow does Bill Belichick cast over Gerard Mayo?
No, it's huge, especially it doesn't help that, you know, Bill has like 12 different jobs in the media and is commenting every week. Not really about the Patriots. He sort of avoided them, but it's not like he's gone away and he's not visible anymore. So he's still out there. It's obviously tough. But Gerard is trying to take, you know, the best of Bill in terms of, you know, getting a team prepared, having a tough, hard-nosed team, pretty much kept the same defensive scheme. They're changing a lot on offense. But I will say that I think, you know, Gerard, this is a huge test for him. This really is. There's a lot of people in New England sort of looking at this game and saying, like, you know, okay, week one against the Bengals was good, but the Bengals kind of stink week one every year. Week two, Seattle, you know, Gerard made some mistakes in that game. The game management at the end of the first half basically handed Seattle 3 points, and the Patriots had the ball with the lead on the Seattle 25 with 6 minutes left, and they lost the game. And then last week, last Thursday, was a complete debacle against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. So the big question here is, okay, we know Gerard's sort of like a player's coach, or, you know, he likes to relate more to the players and respects the players, you know, a little bit different than Bill. But are they going to respond to him now? Because this is a big spot. I mean, is that who they were on Thursday night, or was that a one-off? A lot of people are saying, can Gerard get this team to play for him to bounce back this week and at least keep it close against the 49ers?
How weird is it to cover the Patriots knowing that Bill Belichick wasn't there? I heard a little nugget from last Thursday night when they played the Jets that it was the first time since 1995 that Bill Belichick didn't roam on the sidelines for either the Jets or the Patriots. He had been part of that game since 1995, basically. So how weird has it been for you to not see the hoodie, Bill Belichick, hold those press conferences and be out there at practice?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And, you know, Gerard is giving us a lot more information and a lot more access. That's probably the most startling thing. I mean, he'll actually, like, give you answers about injuries, after the game. You know, he's new at this, so he sort of steps in it. So after the game against the Jets, he was asked about, is Jacoby Brissett still your starting quarterback? And he says, I don't know. And then that sets off a chain of reaction. And then Monday, he's putting the toothpaste back in the tube, saying, Jacoby's our starter until I say he isn't. And so Bill had a way of doing things. You know, it would frustrate us, it would frustrate some fans a lot, but there was a method to his madness where he's just like, I'm not giving anybody any information on my team, and I'm keeping it close to the vest, whereas Gerard sometimes says a little bit too much. But I will say, just the atmosphere overall, whether it's the locker room, just in the building for staffers, it's a 180. You know, it's a lot more relaxed. People, I think, would enjoy work a little bit more. But we'll have to see where the results come.
What do Patriot fans think of Brandon Ayuk? Because it sounded like you guys were going to trade for him.
Yes. I would say that Patriots fans are very, I think they're frustrated more with Elliot Wolf, the vice president of player personnel, for not getting it done, whether it was him or Calvin Ridley. I mean, he's tried to do things. It's just, you know, Calvin Ridley didn't want to leave the South. Brandon Ayuk really didn't want to leave the 49ers, but to be teased like that, it was rough. But they mostly put it on Wolf for not doing enough, not whether it was the contract or the trade offer. They think that it could have gotten done, where I think anybody that you talk to is just like, it wasn't really going to happen. The 49ers didn't want to trade him. He didn't really want to go someplace, and he didn't want to come here in New England and, you know, win four games when, you know, in San Francisco, you're on the precipice of a Super Bowl every year. And so I don't think it's as much, they'll be watching and they'll be envious, but I don't think they're irked with him. They're more irked with the Patriots for not getting something done.
How do you guys view, and we're talking to Greg Bedard, doing an excellent job here on the Morning Rush on the River Islands Guest Line, founder of Boston Sports Journal, covers all things Boston sports. Of course, Celtics won the championship. They got the Bruins and the Red Sox or whatnot. But we're talking Patriots here. How do you guys view Brock Purdy out there in the East Coast?
I would say that people out here, I think, you know, when they get a chance to watch Brock, I think they're pretty impressed. Now, there were a lot of people around here who, you know, when Bailey Zappi was starting games and there was a little bit of Zappi fever a couple of years ago, you know, they look at Brock Purdy and Bailey Zappi, who is now on the practice squad with the Chiefs, and say, well, why can't Zappi do what Purdy's doing? I think that does Brock Purdy a disservice. I think, you know, he's much a similar physical profile, but, you know, Brock's well built. He takes care of himself. He does a good job. I think a lot of people look at him as sort of a byproduct of Kyle Shanahan, that, you know, Kyle Shanahan could make this work with just about any quarterback. But I do think from watching Brock, people watching Brock in the postseason, they do think there's a little special quality with him.
Interesting. Who's the best player on the Patriots right now?
Oof. That's a really good question. I would probably say Ramondre Stevenson, the running back. Now, he has fumbled in three straight games. He finally lost one against the Jets. So that's going to be an issue going into this game. Can he start taking care of the ball? I would say that Christian Gonzalez, the young cornerback, is very good, but we're still trying to figure out like how good he is. And the Patriots, you know, are they going to get to a point where they leave him on the island like against Ayuk or not? We haven't really seen that to this point. And I would say also DeMario Douglas, the little number three wide receiver, affectionately known as Pop Douglas around here, is a really good, quick little player, which they finally got the ball in his hands last week. And that's going to be something that they have to do to move the ball against San Francisco.
Yeah, 10-point underdogs to Patriots, maybe 10.5, but I don't think any fan out here in the West Coast is overlooking the New England Patriots, especially coming off that mini bye after getting beat by the New York Jets. I want to go back to Kraft and the Patriots organization for a second, Greg. And just I wonder how patient. Where is he at right now? What does he really want to accomplish? Does he believe that I could get this team back into Super Bowl contention in the next 2 years, 3 years, because it feels like in that division with Miami, obviously they have quarterback issues, but the Jets seem to be up and coming with that defense and that run game, Breece Hall. And of course you got a Buffalo problem with Josh Allen. How far and how much patience do you think Kraft will give Mayo, and how far does he believe that this team is away from being back in that conversation?
I think he's pretty patient. I would think that they understand, and I think they put a lot of the blame, you know, on Bill for where this team was. A lot of his personnel failings in the last couple of years, the way he basically ruined Mac Jones from, you know, good rookie quarterback to putting Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in charge of the offense in year number two. That's just started a downhill, and they couldn't pull the nose up on Mac Jones, and so that was disappointing to a lot of people. I think they're patient with this year. I think next year they need to be really competitive, battle for a postseason spot. I think they have the guy in Drake May going forward. This is sort of like a glorified redshirt season for him. I do expect him to start at some point, but I think that they got to get a left tackle high up in the draft next year. They got to get that number one sort of receiver that they tried with Ridley and Ayuk. They get those things together and those guys can all play, then you got something in sort of what they hope is the next dynasty.
Look, great stuff. You're making it seem like the Niners should roll them on Sunday, and I
That's
swear to God, if they lose
here.
This game, my head will explode.
Oh, I mean, trust me. I mean, I took the 49ers in the points. I know there are issues. I know there are issues there, but I mean, the last time we saw Kyle Shanahan's offense against this Patriots team, I guess it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running circles around the Patriots, and so
the pandemic
I'm expecting
season.
That again.
Greg,
yeah, the pandemic
Greg.
Season.
Look, let's put the Patriots to the side. I got major beef with Boston sports for a variety of reasons. First off, you traded one of the greatest players of all time for a bag of chips, and the guy ended up leaving anyway, and Verdugo and a bunch of other used parts, Mookie Betts. It's one of the worst trades ever! This guy is tormenting us Giants fans. And then Jason Tatum, Jay, great year. You had a monster season. He really doesn't think that he should be playing on Team USA over Kevin Durant, does he? I mean, come on! It's Kevin Durant!
Well, trust me. Celtics fans spent all Olympics just complaining and complaining about Jason Tatum. They think Jason Tatum's the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though he really wasn't that good in the postseason. Couldn't really shoot in the Olympics. And, you know, and Brown overtook him and was the conference finals MVP, NBA finals MVP. I mean, he went to another level. Tatum did not. You know what's interesting about the Red Sox is, trust me, the people here are as frustrated with the ownership. I mean, they've missed the playoffs, I think, five straight years now.
Wow.
So John Henry also owns Nesson.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, this just tells you where they are as far as paying people and things like that. The Bruins had a preseason game last night in New York. For the first time I can ever remember, they did not send a television crew. They broadcast the MSG feed on Nesson of the Bruins game last night here locally.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Is that the Fenway Sports Group that LeBron's a part of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow,
that's unbelievable. So how are Boston fans going to treat Steve Kerr, though, when the Warriors come out there to TD Garden?
Look
since
out.
Steve Kerr
well,
coming
Jaylen Brown should have been on the team.
Jaylen Brown probably should have been on the team, no doubt about that. But we were there for the finals a couple years ago when the Warriors won it in six. I'm sure they have no love for Steve Kerr because, look, a lot of people say, can you find 5 minutes for Jason Tatum? Can you find 6 minutes for him? The fact that he didn't, I'm sure that trip to Boston is going to be very spicy for the Golden State Warriors this season.
Did you watch that, what was it, Winning Time, the L.A. Lakers show?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? It was like one of the opening scenes when they were like leaving the Boston Garden and they were getting egged and people were like, that's what it's going to be like for Steve Kerr. Like as soon as he gets off the plane, off the bus, they are going to be in his grill the entire time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Greg, a lot of good information, man. Are you traveling out here to the West Coast?
I am not. I have some family obligations, and I really do not like making that West Coast trip. I'm getting too old for this stuff.
That trip, that flight from Boston to San Francisco, it's almost like you have to do business class for that because it is so rocky, so turbulent. Both times flying back from Boston, I got nauseous, man. I got the SFO, Greg.
You took your shoes off.
Yeah, I was trying to. I was trying to get comfortable. It was a rough ride. It's a rough life.
This guy was showing his puppies in first class.
No, I wasn't in first class. I was in economy,
I don't want no part of that red eye back after the game. I'm going to be sleeping snugly in my bed and getting hit in the film early on Monday.
There it is. Greg, good stuff, man. Thanks, Greg, for the time today, brother.
Anytime, guys. See you.
Anytime. Greg Bedard, founder of the Boston Sports Journal. Good get, Lubman. Good get. Maybe we could use him for basketball season alongside Gary Washburn. Look, our Rolodex is growing here in the morning roast. Go figure.
I just watched the Whitey Bulger doc. Again, so good. Gosh, the brother was a senator. Yeah, he's just like one of the
The movie.
Well, there's the movie, and then they've got all these docs on him.
Got it. Yeah,
and Whitey Bulger is just like, man, very complicated FBI informant, part of the Winter Hill gang.
That popped up on Netflix. I was watching through Netflix. No, Black Mass?
Yeah, Black Mass.
That flight is brutal off from Boston. Oh, my gosh. I had headaches and migraines coming off of both those flights. That's when I said to myself, if I ever fly east, and it's a trip that's longer than 5 hours, I don't fly all the time. I fly maybe 3 times a year. I'm splurging. I'm going business class.
Hi, I'm Bonte Hill, and I don't business fly class all the time, but when I do,
No.
It's first class with no shoes on.
No shoes. Yeah, you take your shoes off the first class. That's how I roll. You lay down, you can let your
pimples breathe.
Not
take your shoes off on an airplane.
Yeah, you can't. In business class, you can.
It's such a no-no.
In business class, you can.
This might be a new poll right here.
No, in business class, you lay flat, you can lay down, you stretch out, you take your shoes off. It's all good. Now, I take showers and my socks are clean. My feet don't stink, homie.
Shower.
I have good hygiene. So nobody.
It's not about the stink. You know, I don't want to see it, first of all.
Why don't you want to see my socks? Someone.
No, I don't want to see socks or feet.
So if I got fancy socks on, my sock game's on point. So when you fly business, you can do that. And they got the slippers you can put on or whatnot.
That's fine. Those are covering your feet.
Business class, Bonte. Back in business.
Listen, back in business, boys. E40. Shout out E40. I only take 3 flights a year, if that. So if I'm going to take a flight that long, why not splurge?
I only go to Paris once a year.
I haven't been to Paris in 3 years.
I don't think the flight has any impact onto whether or not you can take your shoes off on an airplane.
Why not? I want to be comfortable.
Well, okay. It doesn't matter how often you fly. It's the fact that your shoes are off on an airplane.
If my socks don't stink, if my feet's good, what is the problem?
Well, then what if the guy next to you says, well, if his feet don't stink, my feet don't stink.
Well,
but then his
shoes
feet don't stink.
It's exactly.
No, everyone thinks that their feet don't stink. All of your
I know
feet
my feet don't stink.
Stink.
I take 2 showers
stink.
A day. Listen.
Roses by apples.
Listen.
Unless you're showering 5 minutes before you're getting
You guys have all these rules for flights. All these rules for flights. You can't eat crab fries. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. No.
Decent to the others around you.
I am decent, but I paid a lot of money for my seat. So if I want to get comfortable and I want to take my damn shoes off, I'm taking my shoes off and I'm going to stretch out. And my shoes, and by the way, I'm 6'4", so I stretch out. My feet are all the way under the seat in front of me. So you don't even see my feet because half of y'all are 5'5 and under anyway. So stop. I can take off my damn shoes on the flight. It's okay.
You feel better?
Hey, when did you guys become like the flight police? Chasky don't even fly, for crying out loud.
I thought you were a Larry David guy. Like, there's certain rules set in society that we all don't need to speak about, but we all know they're there.
It's like you don't pick your nose in the middle of the flight, right? Like, in front of everybody. You don't take your shoes off and, you know, show the birds.
Well, if I'm in first class, I've definitely taken the shoes off.
You definitely can't in first class. It's higher society there.
I will say, as long as the socks are on, I'm good with it. Like, taking the full feet off and all that, it's just that.
You guys clean your feet then. You know, go get a pedi. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Go scrub your dead skin off your feet, man. Don't be mad at me.
It's not our feet
problems.
That are the problem.
Y'all got foot people's. Problems. And y'all still stink. Good Lord.
You smell a lot of feet there, Bonte?
No, not Rex feet. Ryan? Dude, I got crispy Nike socks. Today I got the little doggies on. You see the little doggies? Let me show you too. Show the little doggies. Switch. See that? Little doggies. Little doggies.
What is going on here?
Sock game. We always sock game. On point, man. BPA. Here you go. Let's bring the show back. Shasky's favorite guest, Brian and Palo Alto.
Hey, two mentions cutting it up. Shasky and Brian and Palo Alto. What's up, buddy?
Hi. Is this the week finally Farhan? Are we going to be, is it going to be put to a glorious end, please God?
Hey, a lot of media members at BPA, a lot of media members are saying Farhan's done.
The switch up is pretty interesting, isn't it?
I'd like to think it started with us, by the way. You know, so we were on that. You know, we were sailing in new waters. We were we created that frontier. But,
I'm with you. It's we, Bonte, me, and you, the third member of the Morning Rush, yeah. Brian and Palo Alto.
I mean, you guys were getting shamed by Baggerly, and these guys were calling you out
Hey, BPA.
God forbid, criticizing a front office leader who made the playoffs one time in 6 years. Yeah,
hey, BPA,
anyway,
real quick, BPA. I have a bad habit of doing this. I'm trying to dig up old tweets, but somebody sent me an old tweet from Hank Schulman dunking on me, and all these Giants fans are dunking on me when I'm saying we have no pillars, and I go, wow. 13 months later, this aged really well, and boy, the switch up is glorious.
I think more incredibly is, like, you know, accounts like McCovey Chronicles are still trying to make a case for him. It's like, I can't believe it. It's like 2 years after Balky was fired, if he had not been fired, right? It's like, how can you possibly actually, like, you know, rationally, you know, other than being obviously a front office employee or whatever, right? But, like, it's just incredible. Like, this guy's, you know, this guy, it's like he's got 39 lives. But, yeah, my one Niner take is, you know, Sorensen and Koscheck, you know, they were Wilkes' assistants, right? So, like, one of my issues with, like, hey, let's promote Sorensen from within is, like, if last year's defense was underperforming, like, you know, weren't the assistants on that staff? And, you know, it's the comp is like a, you know, VP of sales who gets fired because the salespeople are like, yeah, he sucks, man, you know. But, like, in reality, Koscheck ain't – it's not been a good two-year run for the defensive line with him.
No, it
right?
hasn't.
And
good
so
point.
It's been really bad. Their defensive line has underperformed. They look poorly coached. This is now year two. And, you know, like, obviously he had a great run in the early days, but man, it's not been good lately. And obviously Sorensen is what it is at this point, you know, like we'll see what happens, but not hopeful. BPA, anyway, have a good day, guys.
I saw your tweets on Sunday. Trust me, during the Rams game, that didn't take long. All right, we got Brody Brazil coming up. We're having some fun here. Look, even the foot shaming and policing on the airplanes, man.
Well, gosh, I think bare feet just, on the floor.
I didn't say bare
no,
feet.
No, I know, but socks. That's the image people have when
no,
you say
no, socks. Crispy, clean, Nike tube socks. Call it a week on the other side, or you want to do it now? Right now? Call it a week?
We'll do it live.
Do it live. Let's go to Jose in San Jose. Jose, what's
hey,
happening?
Hey, Jose.
Growing up as a young Latino in the East Bay during the 80s was pretty tough. Family life was not that great. So I would scrounge up money, you know, take the 72 to the BART, take the BART to the stadium, get the little round trip ticket, sit there for 3 hours and forget. We don't have that no more, man. This hurts. This hurts bad. So thank you guys, and all Mr. Fisher is listening. You're really just, you're crushing us, man. You're hurting us bad. You just don't know it. So I pray they stay. But I know it's a long shot.
Jose in Oakland spoke for a lot of A's fans yesterday. It was very emotional. And the next guy we bring in, because I was caller of the week, caller to the roast. And if your caller's better than the rest, you could be named caller of the week, too. Next guy's going to get emotional. And I don't know if he's going to keep it together. But we had him on about a month ago. And he's a good friend, good colleague. He's a professional, a pro's pro. Brody Brazil is going to join us next to talk about what went down yesterday. Then we'll get back in the Niners, and the Patriot was with Vern Glenn at 9:20. But in the meantime, Brody Brazil coming up next, and that will be brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
San Ramon, you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Oh boy, Niners and Patriots on Sunday. Oh boy, I'm trying to talk in out of not going to that game because there's so many good games on. This is a game I would rather sit back. Like, Jacoby Brissett, Patriots, just... all right. We have a poll up on the Morning Roast at Morning Roast 957. And, of course, it's not going to go my way. Already know how it's going to go. But Bonte Hill thinks it's okay to take your shoes off on the plane if you fly business class. Is it ever okay to take your shoes off when flying? 24% says yes, it's fine. 60% has said no, it's never okay. 60% says business class is fine. 80 votes so far.
I would say that it definitely depends on the distance, the time of the flight, you know, where you're at. I don't think like hypothetical, okay? I'm going to Scottsdale. What is it, an hour? Mm-hmm. Hour 20? Yeah, taking your shoes off on Southwest where there's like, you know what I mean? Like, no, I'm good off that.
Well, you know, Bonte has flown Southwest for quite some time. Shout out to Southwest Airlines. What know about that life?
What's wrong with Southwest?
I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Mikey GSW on Twitter. My shoes come off as soon as I'm in the air. Son of sons. Business or first class only, and as long as you have socks on and have good hygiene, you're in your own little pod away from others. I'm on a 15-hour flight. I'm taking my shoes off while I sleep. Bonte's right. Business. But even if I'm flying coach, economy, my legs stretch out so long. Like, it's all the way under the next seat. Nobody can see my socks. Nobody can see my, you know. I'm wearing socks. I'm not like just going raw doggy barefoot.
But don't the socks get dirty before you put them back into the shoe?
Yeah, I mean, the shoe's always going to be dirty and whatnot. That's always going to happen. We can worry about that all the time. So, you know, as soon as you get back to the hotel, you take the socks off, you wash up and, you know, spray a little something in the shoe, make sure you're all good. But the shoe doesn't get that dirty. You know, the carpets are kind of clean.
On a plane? On a plane?
I mean, you know what? I'm taking my shoes off. I got to rest the dogs, man. It's a long time to have your shoes on.
Anytime I get on a plane, no matter how long, how short, whatever, I immediately, wherever I go to my destination, I have to take a big shower right after.
Of course.
I just feel just nasty.
Well, that happens.
Flying is just nasty.
Yeah, you take a shower all the time.
Yeah, it's just nasty.
That's just good.
And I don't fly in flip-flops. I don't really wear flip-flops. So everyone's like, you fly in flip-flops. I don't do flip-flops. I am slippery. Exactly.
Well, you are slippery. Brody Brazil joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So we're having this conversation as we talk all sports, Brody, and thanks for joining us. And we'll get to what yesterday meant to you because we watched the entire post-game show. And boy, you and Bip, you guys did one hell of a job on NBC Sports California. I was glued in. It was excellent, excellent television. But I would ask Brody, do you take your shoes off on flights or whatnot? But Brody flies private, so he probably, you know, is wearing a robe and flip-flops and anything. So he doesn't know about flying Southwest or Spirit or American
There's
Airlines.
There's a big difference between Spirit and Southwest.
I know it is. But
former, like, military pilots
Brody's
on Southwest.
Brody's getting driven straight to the tarmac. He's not like us, man. He doesn't have to go through TSA pre-check.
I think he's more like us than we want to admit. Brody, you're like me, right?
I used to do that stuff, guys, but I'll be unemployed after Sunday. So I'm back to Southwest and JetBlue and all that stuff. Can I just say, I don't take my own shoes off on most flights. Now, I will say, and Shasky, you had a good point, I think. If it's a transcontinental flight or a transatlantic flight, there's different rules there. But to your point, if we're going to Arizona or Utah or even Chicago, that's too short of a flight. Like, there's no good excuse for me to have your stinky feet out next to me. And then the other one is, if you take the shoes off, okay, that's fine. I'll probably deal with that. But when then people prop their feet up like over the other seats, come on, now we're getting near noses. So I'm not good with that.
I don't do all that, but you know, I have good hygiene. I'm 6'4". I got arrested dogs. Great guy got clean Nike socks, fresh.
They're not clean once they touch the nasty floor of an airplane.
But I'm stretching them out. I'm a like kind of interlock my legs right there. So one of the socks are on the ground, one of them are not. Whatever, I'll deal with it.
And you got no bacteria. You got no bacteria in those J's yours that you're wearing. Come on, I know you got some.
No, you know I got the special spray, Brody. You know you got to keep the soles clean, man. Come on, you know what time it is, Brody.
Brody, you know, I let's transition here because I watched you all day yesterday. You did a great job, you and Bip. It was
that was excellent.
It was real. It was raw, and was from the heart. And I think that that's what everyone. I know that some of the stuff that you said to Bip was scripted, I guess, to a degree. And you made a good point. And I've had to go through the couple funerals recently, and it's like you wait for the day to come. And it's not a perfect analogy, losing a loved one or something to the stadium, but there's this tradition that's wrapped up into going there. And like when I think of my love of sports and the tradition of going to sports, and you know, the camaraderie that me and my brother and my grandfather and my dad used to have, you know, with sports, like there is a family element to it for me, and so a lot of people relate to that. And you were saying, I wanted this day to come, and then now that we're here, I don't want it to end. And that is exactly how I felt with my dad's funeral, where I'm like, I just want to get the day over with. Then the day arrived, and as it was slowly starting to slip away, and the day was, it was like coming to a conclusion, I wasn't ready for it to end. And I thought that the way that you encapsulated just the feelings and the hearts of so many A's fans was really touching, and it hit me in the soul yesterday.
Well, condolences to you, first off. I think, you know, we talk about real life and losing people. I mean, this is related to that. It's similar to that. Certainly, it's not like life and death. But for a lot of people in their fandom and their history and tradition and legacy, it was that. And to your point yesterday, on our shows, there was one little scripted session where I kind of wrote out something I wanted to say at the end, at the very end, specifically to Bip. But the other part about this, and you both know as broadcasters, there are some days where you have it all lined up of how you think this is going to go, and you're just off the brain, off the cuff. And some days the words come out better than others. And really the only nerves for me yesterday was, do I get this all out? Do I get this right? Do I really convey where we're at right here, right now? And I'll tell you what, walking out of the show, out of the studio and doing that show, I felt like it was about as good as it possibly could have went to just translate that for the future. So in 5, 10, 15 years, if I go show that to my son, he'll understand exactly where we were at, how we were feeling. It was a terrible day, terrible experience, but to the point, and everybody has been so nice about those shows, especially the post-game show, it felt like it all just flowed out the right way. I got it out. I got it across. And, you know, there's so many different things to touch on. There's frustration, there's sadness, there's all the different range of emotion. So it's also kind of weird to not have even one theme of your post game show. It was all the different things wrapped up in one.
No, it was really good, man. The tissue papers that you put on the set right away for Bip there, as Bip was balling, and he discussed his experience of being a 4-year-old going to the Coliseum, saying, this is what I'm want to do in my life. I want to be a Major League Baseball player, which is something he accomplished. I thought about all you guys yesterday, but you know, other A's fans, because you have the pulse of the A's fans, no more so than anybody in this market. How have they handled this process from the A's fans that you've talked to throughout this entire process, Brody?
Some of them got, and I say I don't want to make this a life and death thing, but some of them got killed off over time. You know, some A's fans, rightfully so, they just couldn't put up with this anymore. And whether it was 1 year ago, whether it was 2 years ago, whether it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they started to deplete. But when I say deplete, it wasn't that they still aren't around here and they weren't paying attention. They just didn't want to interact. They didn't want to show up to games. They said, I'm out, right? And some even transitioned already to a new team. I know plenty of people where the conversation is, who's your new team? Easily could be the Giants. Easily could be somebody like the Padres. I don't think anybody's going Dodgers, which makes me feel good. But it just, everybody's kind of doing that thing of like, where do we go next? They're looking for that attachment. They do want to attach to something else. But what I thought was interesting yesterday, and I got so many texts during our shows, and I mean, just even in the last couple weeks and months, so many people coming back. And the sad thing is, as much as people, and I just saw a news report this morning where it was pointing out the low attendance at the Coliseum this year, I mean, what do you think came before that? Like the attendance being what it was, how do you think it got there? This is like a restaurant that struggles because, you know, hang on a second. Somebody's trying to call me here on my phone. This is like a restaurant that, okay, they're still trying to call me. Is this like a restaurant that, yeah.
Is it the voting? Like, is it Democrats?
Hi, I'm with District 7, yeah. And you need to vote for us. It's driving me nuts.
City Council.
Decline. There we go. Sorry, I got declined. No, but what it is it's like a restaurant that goes out of business. How often does the restaurant turn around and say, well, it was the customers?
Never.
The customers just didn't show up. If the meals are good and the atmosphere is right and the service is right and the menu is good, you don't keep flipping the menu 18 different times, people are going to show up to your restaurant. We've seen that in a variety of different ways. It doesn't have to be the perfect restaurant, but so long as they're trying, so long as it's a good product, restaurants can never blame the customers when they shut down. And so my point in all that was to say, you know, that A's fandom and that group of people, they really showed up yesterday. I know they've existed this entire time out there. Despite how many times people say, well, nobody cares. That was very apparent yesterday that people do care.
How hard has it been for you personally, considering how invested emotionally, professionally, you know, you are just in the whole keeping the A's here and your fandom and all that? How hard has it been for you to bite your tongue on John Fisher?
Extremely. In a way, it's not been hard. I've always tried to take the high road on all of this, and there's plenty of other people out there to make it personal. Believe me, like there's no shortage of rinsing, as they say. Is that what the kids say? You get to rinse somebody. That's happening all the time. My main goal in this was to lay out the receipts, and I'm not here to say that I'm going to make any change in this process right now. What's going to happen is going to happen. But I do want the evidence to be out there over the coming weeks, months, and years where people can look back at a YouTube video I made last year and say, well, wait, they are having problems putting a Major League Baseball stadium on 9 acres. Or what about the funding for Bally's and GLPI down in Las Vegas? Or what about some of the complications and issues even in Sacramento alone? So all I've tried to do is ask those questions. Because they are legitimate questions, and let me just if you guys give me a second here, let me pull up some bookmarked tweets I had yesterday, because I thought the national media, you know, like who is against the A's in asking questions here, or sorry, who is against the A's staying in Oakland based on some of the questions that were asked here? Buster Olney of ESPN: what remains a total mystery is why the other owners in baseball stand by as the A's debacle plays out, and they don't do anything. And the situation will continue to be an embarrassment for them all as the team moves to a minor league ballpark. It's mind-boggling. Jeff Passan: the Oakland A's were killed by greed. Do not allow the people responsible for this to spin it any other way. John Fisher did not have to move this team. Major League Baseball and its owners did not need to be complicit in it. This was a choice, a wrong one. History will sneer. Last one here, Evan Drellick of The Athletic: politicians across this entire country killed the Oakland A's. John Fisher could have fully funded a stadium in Oakland, but he and every other owner feels entitled to hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars to free money. Your officials everywhere keep proving them right. So the point is to just lay some of this groundwork. I never had to make this personal. There's other people that if they want to do that, that's not my style. I just want to take the high road. I want to paint this picture. People out there are smart enough to see this.
Yeah.
Where was he yesterday, John Fisher?
Great question. There's a lot of names who I wonder why, and let's be real though. What would have been the counter side of showing up and maybe even a security risk? And I greatly understand that, but actually let's rewind it to a different time though. How about the 1974 reunion day? Where was the leadership there of the A's? How about the day that, what was the other one that they recently had? The Hall of Fame. The A's Hall of Fame inductions. They brought in their last class of the Hall of Fame, you know, their A's Hall of Fame class of 2024, no representation. So I'll even give you a pass for not showing up yesterday because, yeah, that would have a bad taste. What about the entire rest of the season? What about the last couple years? I mean, hey, I show my face. I show up. It's part of my job. I put my name and stamp on this. Where are some other people? It's a great question.
Yeah, no, Dave Cavill as well. I thought about him because he was barking loud over the last few years, and he's kind of disappeared and flown under the radar as well. But you're right about John Fisher, I should say. He can't show up. I remember when the Cleveland Browns left in the mid-90s, Art Modell had to leave the state. And whenever the Ravens played the Browns, he could never go back in the state of Ohio. He wasn't allowed there. It was a security risk. So I get why Fisher wasn't there yesterday. But you're right, the representation all season long. But look, there's still a chance this falls apart. There's still a chance everything falls apart. What number or of a percentage chance would you give that, Brody, of this thing falling apart? And hell, who knows? Maybe they do end up back in Oakland. I have no idea what's going to happen, but it does feel like it could fall apart big time here as they try to transition to Sacramento.
It's a two-leap process, right? It's not straight to Las Vegas. It's the old two-step, SAC to Las Vegas. I happened to run into Larry Bear yesterday, and we started talking about the night before, and then obviously watching this game together yesterday for a little bit. And one of the things that I brought up was, I mean, how crazy is it that both baseball teams in the Bay Area had their last game day? The Giants had that at Candlestick Park. They were gone to Tampa Bay. Not only did Tampa Bay have the uniforms already mocked up, they had 30,000 season tickets already reserved, and they had Tropicana Field. They had the stadium. Like, Las Vegas, the hotel is still there, and nobody's paid for anything to be built yet. Like, it was so signed, sealed, and delivered. It literally was until things obviously reversed. Point being, to your asking about the percentage chance for the A's in this situation, I don't know, probably single digits, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. But I also am here to say, you're right. I mean, this is not the easiest thing in the world. Even if this was the most competent, direct, you know, plans laid out situation for a Major League Baseball team, what is happening here and what is laid out is not even an easy process. And until ground is broken at that stadium site, at the Tropicana Hotel, the former Tropicana Hotel, there's just, the questions are going to loom. The questions are going to remain. And I'll tell you this, guys, if it doesn't happen in the second quarter of 2025, instant red flags are going to go up in places like Utah and Portland, where they actually have legitimate groups out there trying to get Major League Baseball. They're going to throw their name in the hat.
How implicit are the Giants? 'Cause I'm a Giants fan, and I freely admit that, like, if I was running a Starbucks, I wouldn't want Pete's across the street from me, right? I would want to have the full... No, I'm just being honest. Like, as a businessman, like, I understand. I understand market share and all that. And, like, if I look in Southern California, you got the Angels and the Dodgers and the Padres, and you're splitting up that pie. And if I was running the Giants, like, I'm being fair here. I'm trying to, like, understand their point of view. Hell yeah, I want them out of town. And so them going to Sacramento, it's good, but it's not good enough from their perspective. I'm sure they want them out of the state. But how implicit are they throughout this process? We know the San Jose portion of it, where they blocked that, but is there more that they have blood on their hands?
To me, it's really simple. I know people can go down deep in the rabbit hole on this one. To me, it's really simple. San Jose, like, you would think that if the Coliseum and Oracle Park are literally 7 or 8 miles apart as the crow flies, right? Like, you have to drive around it, it's longer. But if you draw a straight line, it's 7, 8 miles apart. If all those years ago, if the A's wanted to move 45, 50 miles south, like, they are getting away. That would open up. That would have opened up the entire East Bay, I think, to a lot more Giants fans to say, all right, well, Oracle Park is way closer. But I also understand at the time of when that happened, tech was booming. San Jose was huge. And I understand why corporate sponsorships, all the names and logos you saw back then at Pac Bell Park, a lot of them came from the South Bay. So I understand why they wanted to protect it. And even in more recent times here, why they're okay with letting them go. What more can be said to your point that what else are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's not even about them. It's really about, I go back to this. Last November, 30-0 was the ownership vote across baseball to allow relocation to Las Vegas with no relocation fee, which apparently used to exist, but never really existed. They talked about it, but they never did anything about it. No plans, no financing plans, no renderings, no blueprints, no nothing. I mean, when do 30 people ever walk into a room in 2024 and agree unanimously on everything? Politics, sports teams, financial stuff, stock market. Nobody ever agrees on anything anymore. But on that day, they all walked in and were like, oh, this is cool. What? I mean, you can't fool me on that. If it was 30-0 the other way, if it was 30-0, no, I would also have thought that was fraudulent. I mean, the fact that nobody really got their true opinion on it, what does that say? So I'm going to, you know what, Chasky, I mean, I, and again, part of this is also me understanding Beach just being a Bay Area person. I'm just going to take the Giants even. I know, and people are going to get mad, A's fans, because they really do key in on that question you asked me. For me, though, what else were they supposed to do? Like, yeah. The A's kind of dug this own hole. They started this, and Giants are like, okay, if that's what you want, okay.
Brody here on the River Islands Guest Line, Brody Brazil, that is. And I'm thinking about you because you're entering your last weekend at NBC Sports California, and you've been there for an eternity. I mean, we remember you from Cal High Sports. It feels like you've been on my television for the last 25 years. That's how long it feels, seriously. Yeah. How are you going to handle this weekend personally, man? Because it's not easy to go into a job knowing that there's an end date.
Yeah.
How are you going to handle yourself this weekend, man? Because I know it's tough for you.
I appreciate you, man, for asking it and putting it that way. I think yesterday hit me for the first time that I'm ready. I'm ready to conclude this. I feel like yesterday was the big whopper, you know, like the Coliseum. And on Sunday, it's going to be a game up in Seattle. And yeah, I'm going to have my moment with Stu. But you know what? Stu's still my dude. Like, I'm going to talk to Stu all the time. So I feel like we got the big one out of the way yesterday. I'm like this morning, man, I'm emotionally hungover. Like I got nothing left in the tank really, to really even think about today. I honestly though, I woke up and I was like, are those tears or is that like just my eyes watering waking up? But, you know what? I think walking out of the building is going to be tough. I wish it had gone differently. I really do. And I'll say this, despite the decision that, I mean, they've obviously made on me, I love so many of my teammates over there. And you both know from working at an operation, it's you two on air. It's you two sitting in front of the microphones. But there's so many people that make stuff happen behind the scenes. Yep. I'm so proud to have had the teammates I had over there, people that made me better. And I can't even start with the list of names. It would never end. But so I'm ready. And I do want to say this. You know, I've been working real hard for the last couple months on trying to figure out what's next. I got a couple really good leads on things. I'd be really excited if any of them worked out. So, to your point, I'm hoping that, man, this is not the end of the story. I'm hoping that it's just a new chapter starting pretty soon.
All right, Brody, you're a Bay Area guy. You live in Oakland currently, right?
I'm in the East Bay. I'm one hill over. I'm a 925er now. Yeah,
that's okay. So, I'm just going to give you my perspective. Like, and I told Bonte this. I grew up within a stone's throw, if you will, to Candlestick. We'd hop up and over Manziel. It was a big part of the neighborhood, and yeah. I would hear people on air representing the Niners or whoever, Giants, whatever, and they're talking about, oh, they're going to turn, you know, Candlestick, they're going to demolish it. And I hear politicians, and it's going to be, oh, man, we're going to make an urban park, and we're going to build all this development and housing, and it's going to be great for the community. And it's like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And then they knock down Candlestick. Yeah. Knock down Candlestick. And to this day, I have an uncle who works down in the area, and it's disgusting. It's dangerous, more so now than ever. There are RVs everywhere, and that's a whole nother can of worms, but they've never developed anything on that site. They knocked it down and let it sit like rubble, and they wasted what was a very important landmark in the neighborhood. It was the heartbeat of the neighborhood, and it has actually made that entire part of the town even more decrepit now that it's been vacated out, and no one cares. No one cares. I drive by it all the time, and Hunter's Point is as sad and as isolated as it's ever been. Okay, and I'm not saying it was ever perfect, but part of that stadium on game day, it lit up and it created something there. What are they going to do with the Coliseum?
First off, Chasky, you and I are brothers from another mother. You just happened to grow up in the 415 and I was out in the 510. So like we feel that passion about the site and what are you going to do with it and that connection. I think about that a lot. So two things about it. I'll give you my optimal case scenario, but then I'll also tell you real quick that AASEG, the African American Sports and Entertainment Group, they now own the land and they're in the process of that transaction. They own the entire site. It's up to them to do what they will with that site. And they have plans and they have ambitions. And the person in charge is named Ray Bobbitt. I've got his phone number. We've been playing phone tag. I've been a little busy the last couple of weeks. He is 100,000% on my radar to have that exact question and discussion with maybe here on the YouTube channel at some point. So that being aside, if you're asking me, that land is way too valuable. It's got a BART stop. And the Coliseum and Candlestick site are two different things, similar but different, right? Yeah. right off the freeway. Like, you know, you could throw a rock from 880 in the Nimitz to the arena. Candlestick's a little bit more secluded, Hunter's Point area, kind of where the where 101 kind of bends around it there. My point being is that it's way, and people are going to see it. You know, like Candlestick's not necessarily an eyesore unless you actually go to it. The Coliseum will be an eyesore, and it's actually going to cost them money if they don't keep it up and do things with it. So in the near term, the Oakland Roots and Seoul, the two professional soccer teams, are going to play there. They're still going to have events at the Oakland Arena, but I would love to see that site be transformed. And even further than that, right? So whether it's entertainment complex, something similar to Jack London Square, just I'm not even particular about what it is. But I also want Howard Terminal, which was discussed and which was, you know, advertised as like, this is the new home, this is where the new ballpark's built. I want that 50 acres and the 110 acres at the Coliseum both developed before I die. Because I want to make sure that even if the A's screwed this up so mightily, I want to make sure that Oakland does the right thing with those sites that were saved and carved out and planned for. So I can't even get into specifics, but I just want them to be put to good uses, whether it's housing, entertainment, commercial, whatever. Make it something that people want to go to and they're proud of.
Honestly, Brody, do you think there's any chance that Major League Baseball would consider, after seeing that site yesterday and the way A's fans showed up and showed out and that beautiful scenery and the sun setting on that beautiful grass, do you think Major League Baseball would ever consider maybe bring an expansion back to Oakland if it doesn't work out with the Athletics?
Oh, well, Bonte, let me quote the great Bonte Hill here on X yesterday. Oakland showed up and showed out today. What a lasting image at the Coliseum. Those fans represented that city in the best way possible today, and hopefully some billionaire is watching and thinking to himself, baseball in Oakland, that sounds like a great idea. Major League Baseball belongs in Oakland, and Oakland deserves a Major League Baseball team. Bro, I could answer that question, but you nailed it perfect yesterday. Who didn't see that scene and says, yeah, I don't think it's going to work there? And like I said before, all those people, all that situation, that was not manufactured for yesterday. That would have existed perfectly over time if you just took care of your people. And let me throw this in here because I want to make sure I get this in before the end of our chat. I've been seeing all the memes and all the videos and the montages from yesterday, and everybody attaches that Moneyball music, that Moneyball theme to the clips and the highlights of yesterday. That's cool. And you know what? That makes me cry. But if you really want to get real about it, you would put the theme of the movie Major League on those clips. That's the real story here.
Yeah. No doubt. We mention that every day, Brody, when it comes to the A's. They're a real life Major League 1 and 2 with an owner who doesn't care about the team and the stadium falling all apart and you're sending players left and right and you're not invested into the team. It's just fascinating how this has played out. You got one more, Shasky?
No, I just, you know, Brody, you've done great work, and listening to Bip yesterday, you know, I didn't play in the bigs like Bip, but I was a kid that grew up in near the stadium, near Candlestick, and like going to games, I would visualize like I want to be on that field. And I know so many kids feel that way when they go to Oracle or they go to, you know, the Coliseum, you know, or did go to the Coliseum. Yeah. And I see the site that's been demolished for Candlestick, and it just sits there completely rubbled out. And I'm like, we have to travel hours to go to great ballparks and fields and stuff for our communities. Everybody talks a big game about youth sports and having activities after school, and I'm listening to Bip, and it's like, if they do ever, you know, demolish it, or put some freaking soccer fields and a turf baseball field, just put it there for the community and fund it a little, just a little bit. I think about this all the time. The amount of time John Fisher wasted that equaled money for these politicians where he never dealt in good faith. If a fraction of that went to the parks and some of the park directors to be able to help young kids turn into the next Bip Roberts, imagine how much better our community would be. It just, it like, because I'm into youth sports, it drives me crazy how much time and energy was spent when it felt like he never dealt in good faith, and it could have been used for schools and kids. I mean, look at our area. It just, it pisses me off.
You know, watching all the footage yesterday and grown men and women at the game wearing A's stuff, and I feel bad for adults, of course I do. But the shots we showed yesterday, the ones that just hit me the hardest, and both of you know, as parents, as I do, this is more about the kids and what they will not get to have. And I agree with you. You know what? Building sports fields and facilities and putting a lot of that money into youth, I fully agree. But at the same respect, And I'm not telling kids that, that you should inspire them all to be major leaguers. I don't think any of us made it to the professional ranks, even though we might have thought about that. But at least have the example out there. Have the Oakland A's playing games so that it's right around, to your point, it's right around your backyard and you get taken to games just like I did. So I think it's sad in both ways. I agree with you that, that more could be done at the youth levels, but also if you don't give them the example, and I've run across so many people, not just from a BIP or a Stu or a Shooty, but a Dontrell Willis.
Yeah.
Who talks about showing up to the Coliseum, and he literally says this, and it's deep, and I don't want to get into all of it, but he says, baseball and the Oakland A's saved my life. Now, if you really want to think about that for a second, think about where he was as a young man before Encinal. Just think about when he's serious saying that the Oakland A's saved his life.
Yep.
So that's the probably the best way to put it about what we're losing here, in addition to the fun and entertainment value.
Well, Brody, always a pleasure having you on. I'm missing you down there at NBC as basketball season ramps up. We have some great conversations, some lot of fun down there at the cubicles. But I know you're going to land on your feet, man. Whoever picks you up is going to get a pro and a guy who knows his stuff inside and out. So, Brody, man, take care. We'll be watching this weekend, and hopefully you can hold it together this weekend.
I feel better about this weekend. You know, like I said, I feel like we've all turned that corner. I can't speak for everybody emotionally. And look, the scar is here, right? Like they're going to play in Sacramento. We're going to have to watch highlights of that next year. And this is a process. But I feel like right here, right now, I'm ready to turn that page.
All right, Brody. Good stuff.
See you, buddy.
Good stuff, man.
Appreciate it.
Anytime. Brody Brazil here on the River Islands Guest Line. A's and Sharks pre- and post-game show host. Obviously, you heard the news a couple weeks ago where he will not be working at NBC Sports California.